We estimate it's going to be $38 worth of coffee.
For what?
For Michael.
Extra coffee?
No, just for, that's just,
we bill it to the door?
No, that's just Michael.
No, we bill it to Michael.
Oh.
Where'd your bowl come from?
I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's down here on the front porch smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee.
You've never gotten up at 4 o'clock in the morning in your life.
Yes, I have, many times. Because it's morning.
I didn't see you.
I was walking around cursing you for the last 3 hours.
Two coffee.
Over anything in particular, or just everything in general?
No, something in particular.
Are you guys done running around? Romans 2.
Oh, we're still there?
We never get very far. I start out with really good intentions, and then we just sort of get stuck in a mud or something, huh?
And we get stuck on Gary.
Yeah, leave me alone.
You're doing it again.
And thinkest thou this, verse 3, thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and you doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Don't you realize, is what it's saying, that you're, in doing so, you're despising the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You got to hear back again what the Holy Spirit is, the only thing the Holy Spirit is doing. Because the Holy Spirit isn't doing half the stuff he gets accused of. Not half of the stuff probably he gets credit for. The Holy Spirit is doing three things if you believe Jesus. And we've gone through this, but in light of this, it's critical that you understand it. Let's look at it again. We just did a few days ago. But go to John 14.
Big John.
I'm sorry, John 16. John 16. Chapter 16. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, or it is not just expedient like it will be helpful, but it is absolutely necessary. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now the word comforter is translated here as comforter. Is really, that's a silly word, because you can make it, you can say the Holy Spirit's doing all the stuff that comforts the flesh. The word is paraclete. And it's the one who is speaking alongside of, or one who's, but it's not along, it's his function is to be the alongside of Jesus Christ. He is not our helper, he is Jesus' helper. He is doing Jesus' will. And it's proven in the next verse. Watch. And when he... expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world has come. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. Now, if he is convicting the world of judgment, why? How? What does it say? Because the prince of this world has been judged.
Right about, there's nothing comforting about any of this. This is all bad news to
That's the problem with the charismatic movement that started in the 60s, or that was reinvented in the 60s, because now it became an instrument of how you can be fixed and comforted and do, instead of what he has done the entire time. He's convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, the reason that your judgments then become meaningless and just instruments of your own righteousness and have no merit is because the ultimate judgment has already taken place. And no, none of these little... Well, you know, it's critical that you see this because, I mean, Harry just did it this morning, 3 or 4 times already. You're guilty. You left the mercy seat and went to the judgment seat. You just said you were spending all this time mad at me about something.
Oh, I wasn't really serious.
You weren't?
No, I'm troubled, but I'm not mad.
Okay, well. All right. Our Gary and his infamous, for me now is this wide. The only question I have is: there anybody that doesn't understand what we just said? He's the Comforter. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It's not I'm going to convict the world I'm gonna make sure that my people hate Al Gore.
I'm getting over that though.
Huh? See again, getting.
I'm repenting.
Every.
I'm getting.
You always got to stick time in there.
No.
My point is, can you hear this? You're convicting, he's convicting the world of sin. Why? Because you screwed up or you didn't do something right or no. Of sin because you believe, and believe meaning total dependence, total reliance, on you believe not on him. In other words, you're not relying on the finished work of Christ. You're still anytime you've gone towards self-realization, then it is sin. No matter what act it is, I'm convicting the world of sin. He's convicting the world of sin and of righteousness. He's convicting the world of righteousness because the only righteousness is that Jesus has gone to the Father. And it totally destroys all of your little ideas of what it means to be right or how you... The only basis of righteousness is that he's gone to the Father. And of judgment because the prince or God of this world is judged. That takes everything to the nth degree. It takes it to infinity.
That righteousness, he's righteous because no one else has gone to the Father.
Well, it's not. That is the only definition of righteousness.
Yeah.
He alone has immortality. The idea that no man cometh to the Father but by him isn't a statement of a moral principle. It's an eternal fact. Because I wish I had words. So that means we can never be right unless we've gone to the Father. We can never judge anybody because the prince of the world has already been judged. And you sin every time you're not in 100% reliance on him, no matter what else you do. That's what this is saying. And that's the only thing the Holy Spirit is doing. He's not shedding his anointing at Benny Hinn's conference or, all the other crap. Now, if you believe at all in this whole thing of Christ and everything about him, then the act of your seeing that it's Jesus Christ in you, that he is your life, that for you to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the highest thing in the universe that can happen. There's nothing. It trumps everything. It trumps all accomplishments. It trumps all awards, all education, all possible prize, the Nobel Prizes or the Peace Prize or whatever. It trumps everything. That's why we're not a respecter of persons. Because if you see what the riches of your inheritance is, then it's impossible to be a respecter of persons. It's impossible to be shy. It's impossible to be anything other than in gratitude and faith in him. It looks like I'm just talking to the ceiling this morning. Now let's go back to Romans 2. What he's saying here is you think that you're going to escape if you're judging somebody down while you're which is the evidence that you've left the mercy seat, so that means you are condemned. Or despisest thou? Do you despise the riches of the goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Are you so special that the situation you're in gives you the right to despise the sacrifice of God? Are you in such a your situation is so unique that you make you the subjects of your world and you know everything is about you? The reason it is because you are despising the riches and the glory and the long-suffering and the forbearance of God. And you don't know the fear of God. So therefore, there's no beginning of wisdom because you're still doing everything the Gentiles do. Something's going on and somebody's not saying what's going on. Is it you, Scott?
I really don't know.
Me. Well, you're...
I doubt it. No, I'm thinking on what we're listening to.
I want you to really know this, so you live it, so you're not upset by all these little dealies that go on.
See, that's what I'm thinking about. When you said, you know, you read this about the comfort and go, "Wow, that's not really very comforting." I think it is comforting. Because what happens for me is when I start taking something seriously, it's like being caught in a whirlpool or a riptide. You know what a riptide is? Mm-hmm. It's like it's out of control. I'm going to drown, and there's these massive forces that are throwing me all over the place, and there's just no sense. There's no nothing. And what this is talking about is like, I mean, I've been caught in a like that in the water, and suddenly your feet touch bottom, or you find something you can grab onto that is fixed. Right? So to me, this is, in that sense, this is very much comforting, this conviction and judgment and sin and righteousness and stuff, because it makes all those voices shut up.
Well, this is where I remember when it says, "Thou art inexcusable, O man." What verse that is in? 2, I think, or wherever.
First.
Yeah, therefore thou art inexcusable. Verse 1. That's the predicate, because we've just seen that all these other, everything else is putting God to the test for the purposes of proving him, and it doesn't matter whether you're homosexual or a liar, or you're fearful or you're shy or whatever, they're all equal. and then therefore thou art inexcusable, because hopefully we've read this more than in once a few minutes every day, and you have apprehended that all of that we read in the first chapter is what we are all guilty of, and so you are inexcusable when you try to justify yourself. You are inexcusable because you have an emotional response for something. You are inexcusable because daddy beat you when you were a little kid. You're inexcusable, period. So there's never a justification. You cannot justify. You cannot justify anything other than his peace and joy without you being despising the riches and the glory. You're putting the branch to the nose, and you're putting the branch is Jesus. You're putting him to your nose. You're smelling it, and you have put him to the test for purposes of proving, and you have said he isn't worth anything. Now, it doesn't matter what your complaint is. Well, you make me nervous. Well, that I shouldn't make you nervous. This should make you nervous. And it should bring you to what the meaning of repentance is. The total and complete abandonment of yourself. Never again taking yourself seriously, to put it in a common language. Everybody says amen, right? You're saying amen by your silence, even if you don't say it. Okay.
I'm just thinking hard about this goodness, forbearance, and long suffering. Why would we despise that? I mean, you'd only despise it if you're seeking for yourself and have your own agenda of what should be done.
I promise you, you will despise the goodness if you believe that you have free will. That's the predicate for despising the goodness. And everybody believes they have free will. So all of us despise the goodness. There are only two wills in the universe: the will of God and the will of the evil one. The will of the evil one is reflected in self for self. And however that's manifested, whatever excuses, whatever justifications, however it is, and until you see that, you're going to continue to believe in the fairy tale of free will, and therefore you're going to continue to go down this same path over and over and over and over and over and over, and you will use all these little, well, I forgot. I forgot the cross. Or it just came over me. Or all the other innumerable 10 billion excuses. Or you don't understand what that person did to me. So I'm righteous in judging him down. This is the only place there's freedom, I promise you. Every other place you spend most of your time trying to figure out, it's just like you were when you were a brand new little kid. Oh, what am I doing? What am I doing here? What's my purpose? And then you spent your entire life being this quote-unquote truth seeker. I just love those guys. You search for a truth that agrees with you. You'll invent all kinds of fairy tales to make you believe that what you believe and what you want is what God wants, and you're justified. You can't be justified. We can't be justified. I can't be justified. All right. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Now, I want to concentrate on the word forbearance. It's anache in the Greek, and it means a holding back. It's not your forbearance, it's his forbearance. He is holding back. He's keeping that the seventh angel from standing up. Remember that? Revelation 10, the seventh angel stands. He said, the mystery of God or the mystery of the bride is completed. Time shall be no more. And all of the people that have lived in time, whose dwelling isn't on the mercy seat in the New Jerusalem, but who are dwelling on the earth, every one of them is deceived. That's what it says. All the world is wandering after the beast. Do you think that's going to be some idiot in out of the 10 European nations or whatever they're saying that you're going to all, oh, isn't he wonderful? I'm going to awe after him. No, the beast that you are awing after is you. And all the world is wandering after the beast. And all the world picks and chooses which parts of the scripture you're going to believe and which parts you're going to study and which parts you're going to underline and which parts you're going to remember and which parts you can use so that you can use it as a mantra. All the while trying to continue to be in your name and Jesus' name at the same time. You can't be. Because this is the description of all men. There's no escape from it. You can move to Moab, you can move to Pennsylvania, you can move to Hawaii, you can move to New York. It doesn't matter where you move, because this is the situation. Boom! The curtain's closed. Well, I'm just not ready for that yet. Well, you better hope God's forbearance continues for a minute longer. I'm tired of talking. Anybody have any response?
Well, I think I agree with Harry. It is good news or comforting in the sense that it's so freaking futile out there that when the seventh angel does stand up, as long as you're in line.
Doesn't matter where you are physically. Yeah. Certainly doesn't matter whether you're here or not.
That's really easy for me to say because I've been on millions of trips in the last 4 years.
Right. 5 million, I counted them.
I'm doing a slideshow on my mind of my situation back home with my business. Back to friends and support, part, you know, fellowship. And, I mean, I knew all this stuff before I left. I thought I did. And therein lies the test, I guess. It's just, I'm thinking, all I want to do is just remain in the rest.
That's right.
When I'm back there.
Anything other than
that's
the rest.
That's so easy to mouth those words. I mean, it's a lot of shit out there.
But my point to you is it isn't any easier here than it is there.
Somehow it feels that way. But
well, because here you got somebody to yell at you.
Right.
Somebody to exhort
it's
you.
More than that. It's
well, I know, but it's still not. It really isn't. It doesn't matter where your foot touches.
Right.
But I promise you, the reason you're still bouncing internally is because you haven't given what you have. So you're waiting for a time where you can be ready to talk about it. And that's just sin. Then you think there's something that you can do to get ready. You got to study. You got to have credentials. I know all this. Oh, I'm not going to say this stuff. Nobody will like me. Well, anyone, nobody liked me anyway, so it didn't matter. But my point is, this crap about, well, I've got to wait until I really understand. No, you don't. You got to wait until you begin to live it. And then you don't try to say something you don't know. You can't say anything that isn't worked out in you. But if you've seen something and you know it's worked out in you, and you don't say it, that's a whole other world. That's going to just create it's called leprosy, because you're just going to continue. It's going to be an act of your mind instead of an act of living. And what happens? Well, you just go on and on in your little mind, and you go through all these hoops and circles, and you make your now real wide. God. Kevin, amen. What are you looking at?
I'm
He's innocent.
What?
He's innocent.
Yeah.
Haven't heard that in a long
time. I've never heard it.
Maybe when he was four.
No, it wasn't even that when he was four. It was probably when he was like 3 months he might have been. Take it big, I'm tired of this. Mm-hmm.